This is Annie Stevens Gleason, Minister for Worship and Incorporation at the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'd like to welcome you to our worship podcast.
Greetings and good evening. This is Reverend Gary Lubin serving as deacon with the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Cincinnati, Ohio. Welcome to our daily devotion in the early evening for individuals and families from page 139 of the Book of Common Prayer. Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Now let us begin our worship together. O gracious light, pure brightness of the ever-living Father in heaven, O Jesus Christ, holy and blessed, now as we come to the setting of the sun and our eyes behold the vesper light, we sing your praises, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are worthy at all times to be praised by happy voices, O Son of God, O giver of life, and to be glorified through all the worlds. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Herod the ruler heard reports about Jesus, and he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him." For Herod had arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Because John had been telling him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Though Herod wanted to put him to death, he feared the crowd because they regarded him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company, and she pleased Herod so much that he promised on oath to grant her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter." The king was grieved, yet, out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he commanded it to be given. He sent and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, who brought it to her mother. His disciples came and took the body and buried him. And they went and told Jesus the gospel of our Lord. Well, good evening. In today's reading from Matthew, quote, Herod the ruler, end quote, is a main character, if you will allow, a fitting foil to the protagonists in the story. He was the son of Herod the Great. His mother was Malthus, a Samaritan woman. Known as Herod Antipas, he was one of the four sovereigns appointed by Rome to rule the client state previously ruled by just his dad, Herod the Great. Rome split it up so that he had to share power with his aunt Salome the First and brothers Herod Archelaus and Philip. I'm thinking done by Rome to maintain control by corralling authority. So the word is getting around. So Herod must have heard through the grapevine about Jesus' preaching, teaching, and healing ministry. Well, for example, the healing of a man with a withered hand in the very synagogue itself and on the Sabbath day, just as Matthew previously reported happening. Herod certainly cannot have such a rabble-rouser, heavens to Betsy, a troublemaker, an agitator of his people, parading around his neck of the backwoods of the Roman Empire. But Herod has been misinformed, or maybe he's just deluded into thinking that Jesus is John the Baptist, who has been raised from the dead. Herod is dead wrong, of course. The reports he is hearing are, in fact, about Jesus, God's self, who Herod would continue to hear about and later encounter in person. More on that later, but for now, this Jesus person is on a roll. Immediately following today's reading, Jesus performs several other miracles, including the feeding of the 5,000, scaring the wits out of the disciples by walking on water to catch them up, then heals the sick in Gennesaret, continues healing people right and left, too many to count, I'd say, then feeds another crowd of 4,000 eager listeners in need of the good word. Gosh, that's a total of 9,000 that we know about. Wow. The word is getting around. Now, all that being said, today's story is really Matthew's way of sharing with us how ended the life and ministry of John the Baptist, signaling the beginning of Jesus's. Because as we know, Herod had John beheaded. Why, you ask? Well, because John the Baptist very publicly had upbraided and embarrassed Herod, saying, quote, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife," end quote. His marriage with Herodias violated Mosaic law. You see, you gotta follow this. This is crazy, but Herod divorced his first wife to marry Herodias, and Herodias divorced Herod's aforementioned half-brother, Philip, to marry Herod. Now, this means Herodias was not only his wife, but also his niece and sister-in-law. Likewise, Herod was not only Herodias' husband, but also her uncle and brother-in-law. Wow. Let's keep it all in the family, I guess. I imagine this was one of those marriages made among the rich, famous, and powerful, and related, for political reasons, no doubt, to maintain and extend power. But, the prophet John the Baptist spoke truth to power. Both Herod and Herodias were very angry with John. Herod has John arrested and imprisoned, but not executed, probably because Herod was bewildered and somewhat fearful of John. And further to that, we are told Herod liked listening to John. But not so Herodias. She had a really grievous grudge against John and wanted him dead. D-E-A-D, dead. Herodias is the heavy in this story who gets done the dirty deed of death. Now, you might remember the story, right? The execution comes on the heels of a big banquet and party celebrating Herod's birthday. Herod's stepdaughter entertains the extensive entourage of the rich and famous and powerful, courtiers, officers, and leaders of Galilee. Now, because of her exemplary, I imagine, exotic, enticing dancing, well, at least in that movie that I saw, Herod solemnly promises her anything, even half his kingdom. She asks her mom, "Gee, what, Mom, should I do?" Already having what she wants of the kingdom, to be sure, the vengeful Herodias tells her daughter to ask for John's head, which is promptly delivered on a party platter to the birthday banquet. Golly, were they amused? Maybe grossed out, shocked, disgusted, fearful. It was all very attention-getting for sure. And surely they wanted to know, gosh, why? Yes, at least they must have had a passing curiosity. And so, if they did not already know, the upper crust learned or relearned about John's life and his message. John was certainly the center of attention. Might even have heard about Jesus, too. But Jesus' star was just then on the rise. So, in death, as in life, John gets the last word. John speaks truth to power one last and final time. Speaking truth to power is accomplished not only by uttering prophetic words, but also by doing prophetic deeds, even being heady at times. Bad joke, right? Anyway, for his deeds, John was imprisoned not far from his workplace, the Jordan River, where he zealously and publicly preached repentance and the coming realm of heaven. And he baptized. The drama of the descending dove prophetically sets Jesus' example of baptism apart from all of the others. John testified Jesus to be the Messiah. He prepared the way for and pointed to Jesus. Now, a few years later, during the mock trial of Jesus, Pilate sends Jesus to Herod for interrogation. I suspect Herod was even more bewildered and fearful of Jesus than he ever was with John. John was a fire and brimstone kind of prophet, you know, who probably expected a judgmental, vengeful Messiah, an unappeasable punisher, perhaps. Now, a person in power could better react to that than that of Jesus' message, which was one of compassion, of love. Love God, love your neighbor, he commands us. God fails to conform to popular expectations, but surprises us instead. Again, truth to power. And here is a zinger. Check out Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. In there, we learn that Joanna, the wife of Herod's very own steward, Chuza, was one of the women who followed Jesus, in other words, a disciple, and who, along with other women of means, who were also following Jesus, ministered to Jesus and the 12, financially supporting them out of their own pockets. Now, this is really truth to power. Cha-ching! Then there was another time described in Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Quote, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. He replied, go tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. End quote. Yes, truth to power. And in Mark chapter 8, verses 15, Jesus warned the disciples, quote, be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. End quote. A cautionary warning, which is again, truth to power. After he was arrested by the Jewish religious establishment in Jerusalem, Pilate sends Jesus to Herod because, you know, it was Herod's jurisdiction. Jesus refuses to perform parlor tricks requested by Herod. So, an unhappy and looking stupid Herod returns Jesus to Pilate, because Pilate is the Roman authority and really the only one who can authorize a crucifixion. Well then, you know, during the trial, Pilate asks Jesus, what is truth? What is truth? One of my favorite lines in the Bible. Jesus is silent. Silence is assent. It's one of the best no answers ever, because Jesus, truth in person, is standing right in front of him. Surprise! One more time, in a very literal sense, truth to power. And it does not end there. So let's go back to something Herod said in today's reading. I am really dumbfounded that Herod mentions and actually envisions a resurrection. Raised from the dead, he says. But as it turns out, not John. Is this accidental prescience? Indeed, Jesus rose from the dead, not John. Jesus, a resurrection did happen. God indeed works in mysterious ways, but God's self, while refusing to perform at Herod's demand, voluntarily, out of love, performs for us instead, out of our need. And Jesus continues to surprise us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' life and message is present to us even now, today. Jesus did not come to create an earthly empire. Yet, we all behave as a society haphazardly thinking and continuing along those lines. The truth is, Jesus is all about establishing God's reign of love, grace, and mercy, and justice through other worldly power, but working through us. Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable is the example Jesus set for us to follow. What spills out of this conflict between establishing God's reign and hedonistic worldly empire now as then are current events, both big and small. Life as we know it, day in and day out. On our journey together in this life as fellow passengers to the grave, we many times come to a fork in the road. This is an opportune time to reflect. Which way to go? And who are we listening to? Who do we imitate? Who do we follow? In today's world, there are imitators of John the Baptist. And much worse, there are imitators of Herod, Herodias, Pilate, and the emperor. There are even those who have in recent times and continue to outdo them. I am biting my tongue because I would like to name names. All kinds of things are swimming through my head, especially it being an election year. However, it is also a leap year. I would take that as a segue to say it is a time to take a leap forward. Jesus exampled for us to respond as a beloved community, to speak and act truth to power, to love God, and to love one another in a real, active, and sacrificial kind of way. Amen. And now a reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. It is not ourselves that we proclaim. We proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For the same God who said, out of darkness let light shine, has caused his light to shine within us, to give the light of revelation, the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let us now take some time, pausing our worship together, if you need to do that, to offer up our prayers of intercession, thanksgiving and praise for the world, for the church, for our national life, for the social and natural orders, for family and personal life, in particular, for those who are suffering and those who have died. Let us now say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now the collect for the day, proper four. O God, your never-failing providence sets in order all things, both in heaven and earth. Put away from us, we entreat you, all hurtful things, and give us those things which are profitable for us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now from the Book of Common Prayer on page 815, let us say together the collect for the human family. O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth. That in your good time, all nations and all the peoples of the one human race may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the Collect for Social Order and Social Justice, which is on page 823. Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move every human heart, and especially the hearts of the people of this land, that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatreds cease, that our divisions being healed, we may live in justice and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the concluding collect. Lord Jesus, stay with us, for evening is at hand and the day is past. Be our companion in the way. Kindle our hearts and awaken hope, that we may know you as you are revealed in Scripture and the breaking of bread. Grant this for the sake of your love. Amen. Let us now go into the world in peace, hope, and joy to seek and serve God, being and doing God's grace, mercy, and justice, to reconcile, heal, liberate, and serve, doing everything in love.